What's going on, Bulls fan? This is Peter Szczecki, Pro Bull, the class of 2018, and you're tuned in to the It's Bruin podcast. Go Bulls.
You have to understand those who came before you. You can't just play for me.
Payoff pitch. Brutscher pulls it. Deep to right field. And this game is tied.
Every day is to make the university extremely proud. To make our alumni extremely proud of what we're doing in the program. Culture and work ethic and all of those things. Those are living, breathing things.
Are you kidding me?
This is ripped, the first Hogan, and there is your game winner. The South Florida Bulls can celebrate. They are headed to the Super Regionals for the first time in school history.
If you don't have the expectation of getting to Omaha, and playing well in Omaha, you probably shouldn't be coaching Division I baseball.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of It's Bruin at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino. I'm also joined by my brother and co-host, Matthew Giardino. Today, we have a very special guest joining us, Coach Chris Cates of USF baseball. He was on USF staff last season as an assistant coach, and when head coach Mitch Hannes was hired this past June, he decided to retain Coach Cates. Coach Cates has a new role with the team this season as the director of player development. He's been a coach for about 12 years now, including a prior stint at USF, and prior to getting into coaching, he played college baseball at Louisville, and he also played 5 years in the minor leagues in the Twins organization. So, Coach Cates, welcome to our show, and how are you doing today?
Hey, how's it going? Appreciate you guys having me on. Doing well, just getting ready for the season. I shouldn't say season, the school to start and kind of get going in the fall, and just kind of see a lot of new faces and some familiar ones as well, but just kind of get ready to get back in school and get baseball going.
Definitely, yeah, and you know, I know you're also busy with your son is playing baseball now too. Can you talk a little bit about what he's been up to playing baseball?
Yeah, so my son Cohen, he's 8 years old, and he plays, you know, Little League baseball at the local league here over in Brandon at Bloomingdale Little League, and he's in the AB league now. It's called Advanced Baseball. So they had kind of evaluations and tryouts for the kids starting at once they get to kind of 8-9 years old. And he got selected to play on the advanced team. So they've asked me, you know, if I could be kind of a consultant, so to speak. You know, I like to be dad when I go out. I like to just sit on usually in the outfield or down the line and just watch him. And I try not to, you know, get too involved just because I want to be dad and I want to enjoy those moments. My wife actually coaches on my son's team and has, she played softball in high school. So she's familiar with, you know, softball, baseball, and, you know, she follows us obviously and the teams I've been a part of and in professional baseball as well. So she's the Coach Cates when it comes to my son. So it's a lot of fun to watch them both out there. And I could just be dad and a supportive husband.
That's awesome. That's really cool that both of you have the ability to coach. Did you all meet when you were, because I know you're, I'm about to get into this topic here in a second about, you know, how the fact that you're from the Tampa Bay area, but is your wife from Tampa Bay as well?
She is. So we went to high school together at Brandon High School, and I was a few years older than her, and we dated a little bit in high school, and then I went off to play at Louisville, and she went to University of Tampa. And then as fate, I guess you would say would have it, we ran back into each other. And just kind of picked up where we left off. And, you know, she was with me throughout my, my years in the minor leagues and, was always very supportive. And, she knew baseball was a big part of my life and kind of knew that's what I wanted to do regardless if I was playing, coaching. And so I actually proposed to her before one of my games in the minor leagues on the field. And I figured if she can say yes on the baseball field, then I knew she was the right one. So.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Nice. Yeah, I want to get into some of that stuff too with your professional career. But yeah, you know, being originally from the Tampa Bay area, like you mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about where you went to high school, where you played, maybe a little bit about growing up in Tampa Bay as a high school baseball player back then? And you know, it's still very relevant to you today, being a assistant coach here for USF, monitoring the high school baseball scene and things like that. So can you talk a little bit about your days back then and how it's kind of evolved?
Absolutely. So, as I said, I went to Brandon, and back then, actually, former director of ops, Greg Paris, was my high school coach, my first 2 years. Playing for him, and growing up in this area, Brandon was one of the places you wanted to play for baseball. I mean, we had Sean Figgins, who's probably the most notable guy to come out of there. We had Jody Reed from back in the 80s, Gary Carter, a lot of big leaguers, Danny Graves. So growing up in this area, there's only a few places back then, that were around in terms of high school and good baseball. It's evolved now because there's so many high schools in the Hillsborough County area. The schools like Sumner, Leonard, a lot of these Steinbrenner, Sickle, those schools weren't even around when I was in high school. So it just shows, number one, the growth of the Tampa Bay area, and all the talent in the Tampa Bay area kind of spreads across all those schools now. So it's fun to coach in my hometown. I still know a lot of the coaches that are currently coaching, in terms of they were coaching when I was playing, and then also a lot of the guys that I grew up playing against are now coaching in the high school area. So it's fun to go to a high school game and kind of see those guys that you either competed against back in the day that they're now coaching, and kind of keeping the, I like to say, like the Tampa tradition alive, and being able to keep Tampa baseball a tight little fraternity, because as you guys I'm sure know, there's a lot of talent here in the area, and there's a lot of opportunities. Not only for college, but travel ball and junior college and Division II. So it's really cool to grow up in the area and to be able to stay here and kind of continue on that tradition.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know you mentioned Leonard High School. Do you know Victor Martinez, the guy from there?
I do. Victor's a
Okay.
good friend. We talk often. He's always trying to help in terms of identifying players. I have a constant communication with him. He does some stuff with FTB as well, which is a big organization in Florida. And he's always reaching out to me, checking on, there's a guy I think you guys should take a look at. And then we have a couple guys at Leonard on the roster this year coming in.
Yeah.
So obviously, he's helped us in that aspect too.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's a good friend of the program. I see him at games. He's a big supporter of USF baseball, which is really cool.
Yes.
Nice. And you went to high school, like you said, in Brandon High School, but you actually ended up playing college baseball at Louisville, and you had a really good career there, which ultimately led to you getting drafted. But one thing that was interesting when I was doing a little bit of research for the podcast was the fact that you played for Lilo Prado there. I didn't ever connect the dots, because I know Lilo like was a coach there. I know you played there, but I never connected the dots. But that is very interesting. How did that happen? Did you already know him from Tampa, and was that a factor in you ending up there?
So I knew of Coach Prado because before Louisville, he was at the University of Tampa. Built a great program there, won some national championships. So growing up here, who University of Tampa is and what their program, very well respected, national powerhouse, and Coach Prado was part of the early days of that. So I knew who he was. By the time I got to high school, he was at Louisville, and to be honest, I wasn't very heavily recruited in high school. I only had, I think, like one junior college offer in my senior year, and going into districts my senior year. So May of 2003, I get a call from Jim Zarilla, who was the recruiting coordinator at the time at Louisville, and he said he's come down and watch me, because they needed an infielder for next year, and heard some good things about me. So he showed up, and we were playing Tampa Bay Tech, I'll never forget, in a first round of district game. And I was nervous. He's coming to watch. He shows up. We take pregame infield, and then he calls me over and says, "All right, I've seen all I need to see. I'm heading out of here." So immediately I thought, all right, well, he probably didn't realize I was 5'3" and probably said, yeah, I'm out on this guy. And so I said, oh, well, I appreciate your coming. Sorry if I wasted your time. And he said, wasted my time? No, he's like, that's all I need to see out of you. So you take ground balls and the way you play infield. He's I'll call you next week. We'll set up a visit. So when I actually got up to Louisville, I figured out the connection with Coach Prado and the one of the assistants at the time. I think he was a student assistant, but Bobby Perez played at Durant High School locally and went to Louisville, played, and then ended up being a coach. And his dad was the principal at Durant. And so he called down, asked if there's any good infielders available. And, he mentioned me. And so that's how kind of I got my way to Louisville. And when I went up there for the visit, not that I had many other options, but I just fell in love with the campus. I fell in love with the vision that Coach Prado had. And just ultimately, I knew that it was a place I could see myself. So it was an easy decision for me to go up there and play for Coach Prado, because he was very similar to Coach Paris in terms of, discipline in a program and just running things the way that they did. And that's kind of what I was used to, and that's kind of what I was looking for. And it was a way for me to have success, because I knew I had success with that model in high school. And Coach Prado, I just knew that it was going to be the same type of atmosphere that I could, thrive in and and have a good college experience. So I ended up going to Louisville, and it's the best decision I've made in my playing career, to be honest.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Lilo had a lot of good teams there with you. And then even after Lilo, McConnell, he's done a really good job as well. So yeah, that's a great, great, great reputation. When people say, when I see like, oh, he played at Louisville, like, okay, that's a really good ball program. Yeah, so that's awesome. And then, it's funny because, you work with Lilo now, because he's a deputy athletic director. So what is that like?
It's fun. He'll still always be Coach Prado to me. He still, is a mentor. He's still a figure that I look at for guidance and advice. And even still as a coach, because he did it for a number of years and had a lot of success. So we talk coaching a lot of times. We share stories, and I got some good Lalo stories, and we laugh about some stories. But at the end of the day, working with him has been a blessing, because I learned a lot from him as a player when he was coaching me, and now he's kind of turned into more of that coaching mentor role with me, and has been able to kind of guide me in my coaching career. So it was really cool when I first got to USF back in 2015, because Coach Prado was there, and then Coach Paris was on staff too. So I had my college coach and my high school coach I got to see every day. So it's a pretty unique experience. And also on my high school, so I had Mike Bell, who's the head coach at Pitt, and he's been a great mentor of mine. And then Matt Stahlbaumer was my last year, and he ended up coaching at Brandon for 20 years. So I've been fortunate to be around really good coaches as mentors. And then, as you said, Coach McDonald took over my senior year and took us to Omaha. And it was, something that, for me was just a great, great span of coaches, all different in their own way, but very similar in terms of what they gave me, in terms of guidance and mentorship, and just being able to kind of shape me into the coach that I am today.
Wow. It's funny. I didn't know that you actually played 1 year for McConnell, mm-hmm. and you made it to Omaha that year. So I had to ask, what was it like playing in Omaha?
It was everything you could dream of and more. The crazy thing is when Coach McDonald came in, we lost in the Big East Championship the year before with Coach Prado, and then he came to USF, and truth be told, I wanted to come with him, me being from here and going to play for him. But the back then the transfer rules, right, it's in conference, you have to sit out. So I stayed at Louisville. Coach McDonald was a blessing to the program and to take over for Coach Prado and kind of pick up where we left off, to be honest. And the thing about Omaha is, we just wanted to go to a regional. Like we were just hoping to be able to play in a regional and say we made it to the postseason. And the very first practice, Coach Mack had us practice dogpiling. He said, there's nothing worse than when a team clinches to go to Omaha and they don't know how to dogpile. And,
That's awesome.
We're thinking like, This guy's talking about Omaha day one. We just want to go, to a regional. We just want to win the Big East. And every day, the thought process and kind of that focus was, this is what you do when you clinch to go to Omaha. This is how you get to Omaha. Because, he went, as a player, and, knew what it was like and knew what it took to get there. And, I'd be lying if I said I was kind of, thinking like this guy's a little bit off his rocker thinking Louisville baseball going to Omaha. But,
Right.
we got on a run at the right time and we got hot and we believed. And ultimately that's kind of what carried us through, because we didn't win the tournament that year, the conference tournament. We were a at large seed.
Gotcha.
We went to Missouri. They were a national seed. They had Aaron Crow. They had Kyle Gibson. So they had those guys. Then Miami was in that regional as well. So it was a tough regional, but he prepared us what it was going to be like to be in the postseason, what a regional felt like, and kind of prepared us for that moment. And when it came, it was like we've been there 3 straight years. And then the super regional is kind of the same thing. We hosted when we weren't supposed to, because us and Oklahoma State both were not the top seed in our regional, and we happened to put in the bid and we hosted. And it was an unforgettable experience. And then when you get to Omaha, it's just it's what you dream about as a college baseball player and a coach. And when you get there, it's just it's very surreal, because you watch on TV and you talk about it, but when you truly get there and you walk up and you see that statue that they always show outside the stadium, it's like, man, like it kind of takes your breath away. But one thing Coach Mack did, they helped calm our nerves a little bit, is he took us straight off the plane, straight to the stadium. So that's the first thing we did. We went there, we walked around, we sat in the dugout. So just to kind of get those jitters out of like what it's going to be like when we first get to the stadium. And we played pretty well overall. We played Rice the first game. They were the number one seed, and we had them 10-4 in the seventh, and we actually lost. We blew a lead, and then we eliminated Mississippi State, and then we lost to North Carolina, who ended up losing in the championship series to Oregon State. So, but yeah, but in a to sum it up, Omaha is it's very surreal, and it's what you probably dream about as a college baseball fan and a coach and a player. When you get there, it's like, man, you just got to try to enjoy as much as you can and take it all in, because it's hard to get there. It's very hard to get there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's interesting because, that's all of us at Bruin at McEwen, like our dream is to see the USF baseball play there. But it was interesting. I actually had a couple of years ago, I had a work trip that actually took me to Omaha. It wasn't during the College World Series, but it was still cool to see the stadium and, like you're mentioning, the statue out front and all of those things. But yeah, I can only imagine. I want to obviously find out soon what it's like when the place is buzzing, especially nowadays with the new stadium. And yeah, it's gotta be awesome. So we're gonna make that happen here under the Mitch Hanna's era.
That's the plan.
Yes, awesome. Well, yeah, I also wanted to talk a little bit about when you were a player, you played at Louisville, but also in the minor leagues. As a player, what was your kind of strong suit? I think you may have actually hinted at it before, when you said the guy from Louisville came to watch you. What were some of your strong suits, and how does like your experience as a player like influence like the way that you coach today?
Yes, yeah, so I think my strong suit, as you alluded to, was defensively. The ability to stay at shortstop through high school into the college level and even into the professional level, was definitely my strong suit. And they you always hear the term pitching and defense wins championships. So I took that to the point of I wasn't a very big guy. I could do some things offensively, in terms of bunts, moving runners, hit and runs, things like that. But ultimately, I kind of embraced the fact that I could change the game defensively. And so I was always being a guy who would rather make the game-saving play than the game-winning hit. When you're on defense, a lot of times, if you make a great diving play, it's remembered or maybe talked about. But when you make seven or eight routine plays, doesn't get talked about a whole lot. That's kind of how my mentality was. Is like, I want to go and be the guy that just makes eight plays at shortstop for, and the pitchers know, like, hey, I don't have to worry about making the perfect pitch, because if it's a ground ball to the left side, like, Kate's going to take care of it. So I try to instill that mentality into the players that I coach today, is like, you know, you don't have to be the star in terms of star of the game, just be the star of your role. So if your role is to, you know, come off the bench and be a defensive closer, because that's what I kind of started, the role I started to have towards the end of my pro career, because when I got to AA, I just wasn't good enough offensively. So, you know, I'd come in the seventh, eighth inning and play defense if we had a lead. And so I embraced that role because, you know, that's what was asked of me to help the team win. So I try to always kind of use that mentality with our players, like, whatever the game is asking of you, whatever your team is asking of you, be the star in that role. You know, everybody wants to either, you know, hit lead off or third and play short, or, you know, or play center. But ultimately, you know, there's nine guys on the field with the DH in the lineup as well. Like, there's a role for every one of those positions, even the nine hole. Like, you know, I hit in the nine hole at Louisville my senior year, when the previous 3 years I hit in the, like, you know, one or two. So growing up, you think nine hole's the worst hitter and whatnot. And so McDonald assured me that, like, he wanted me in the nine hole to turn around the lineup, because I had the ability to get on base, and then it turns it over to the power guy. So he told me the nine hole was just as important to him as the three hole, because ultimately you turn the lineup over. You know, if that was the case for, you know, every player on the field, understanding, like, you know, because, you know, in Little League, it's like, oh, the right fielder is typically not your strongest player. Well, I think we've known, you know, you guys know too, watching over the years, like, I wouldn't say a guy like Drew Brutcher is our weakest link. Like, he's a great player and was a great player for USF. So ultimately, understanding, like, where you play on the field, just be the star of that role. And when you focus on that aspect of it, you do more things to help the team win than worrying about your own accolades. And ultimately, that's kind of, for me, what ultimately builds team chemistry, is, you know, being excited about the role you have. You know, guys might be coming off the bench to pinch run. Like, embrace that role, because at the end of the day, it's an important role. You're going in the game, typically when it's a tight game and we're trying to score a run, like, that should be something that you take as, man, like, they're putting trust in me to somehow score the game tying run. And that's what, you know, Dawson Mock, for example, last year, you know, pinch ran a lot. And I used to tell him, like, hey man, like, you got to be ready from the sixth inning on. Your legs got to be ready. You got to be riding the bike. Like, don't get lost in the, oh, I'm not playing. Be ready, because there's going to be an important time in the game. If we're down, you're going to run, and you're going to be the most important run of that game for us. And so I try to kind of, you know, use that mentality with the players so that they're, you know, always locked in, because I know firsthand when, like I said, when I got to AA and I was, you know, a defensive closer, as I called it early on, I was like, oh man, I'm not playing the first six innings. Like, you know, I don't need to worry about going to the game till late. But then all of a sudden, you know, your body's not prepared. Mentally, you're not prepared. Maybe you're not fully stretched out. And so I started taking that role of, you know what, I need to be prepared from the first pitch that I'm going to go in the game in the seventh inning to play defense. And I'm going to make, you know, a play to win this game. So that's kind of the mentality I would say that I got as a player, was defensively, I can change the game and help us win. Whereas offensively, you don't always get those moments, because, you know, you may not get in at bat with a runner in scoring position, but defensively, if you're on the field, you always have a chance to make a play for your team.
That is really awesome. I mean, I what I love about that is, like, you've directly applied, like, something you went through, and you could immediately just translate it to a player like Dawson Mock, for example. You know, that's exactly what, I mean, watching him last year, when he did come in the game, he did make an impact, whether he came in defensively for a little bit, pinch running, like you mentioned. But yeah, that's really awesome to be able to translate that so directly. You know, thinking about your career in the minor leagues, are there any other key lessons from that time? Maybe just from things that you were able to observe, like watching how professional players operate and you operate yourself on a day-to-day basis, that you also can kind of help the college players with?
Yeah, I think the, you know, for the guys that you know, that I played with that made it to big leagues, they just all had a confidence about them. They didn't live and die by every at bat. They didn't live and die by, you know, every pitch. Ultimately, you know, they kind of had the mindset of, you know, if they failed, they were going to, you know, produce the next time. They were going to do better next time. And, you know, that's something I struggled with. I lived and died by a lot of each at bats, especially towards the end of my career, because I kind of got to the point where, man, if I don't get two hits today, like I might not play for a week. So instead of just having confidence that, like, you know, I'm here for a reason and I do have a role, I try to use that experience to with our players that I coach and you know, still talk to that are in the minor leagues is like, hey, man, like you're there for a reason. You know, at USF, you're here for a reason. Ultimately, you have to understand that you have to be confident that you're here because you're good. You're here because you have talent. And I think that's something that, you know, those guys that I play with, at least that make it to the big leagues, they have just a different aura about them and the way they go about each day. It's, you know, you can kind of sense like, man, like this guy's different. You know, I had the opportunity to play with Brian Dozier, for example. And he was just, you know, he's just different. Like his every day, you know, he just knew, he just had a look of him like, man, he knows he's going to play in the big leagues. It's just a matter of time. And,
that's awesome.
You know, Ben Revere is a really good friend of mine that played, and, you know, he's not much bigger than me, but like, he was just different. You know, Joe Benson was a guy, Steve Singleton, these guys that I played with. And then I was fortunate to, I did a little stint, a rehab stint from Joe Maurer came down and played with us. And like, wow, you know, awesome. Being around that guy, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, and it was just like, man, like, I want to be like that guy. And it is everyday preparation. And, you know, it was very simple to watch him go about his business, but it was very, you know, efficient. And that's, I think, you know, those guys that, you know, they don't take a magic potion. They don't have, you know, yes, obviously they're super talented, but they're very efficient and consistent in everything they do. And every day, you know, their mindset is very consistent. And I think that's ultimately, you know, you mix that with the talent they have, and, you know, it's inevitable that they're going to be in the big leagues.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Awesome perspective there for sure. I want to pass the next part of the show off to Matt. He wants to talk a little bit more with you about your career as your coaching journey so far, as you've been a coach for about 12 years now. So I'll pass it off to Matt.
Okay.
It's really a pleasure to meet you, and really excited for you to be on our show. You know, we haven't met you directly yet, but, you know, we've heard a lot of great things from you about you from, you know, a lot of your current players and your former players as well. And I could definitely see, you know, where they're coming from when they say you're an awesome coach and an awesome guy. So just want to start off with that. But you've been an assistant coach for 12 years now, and during that time, you've been part of some remarkable teams. Could you share some of the most successful teams you've worked with, and, you know, what do you believe made those teams so effective, and how do those experiences influence how you're working today?
Yeah, absolutely. So crazy to, first of all, think it's been 12 years. It doesn't feel like that long, but I guess the gray hairs in my beard will probably confirm that. But, you know, I started my career at Florida State and got the coach for, you know, Mike Martin Sr., 11. And, you know, that was, you know, that was a unbelievable way to kind of start, just because, you know, the success and all the years that he coached and all the great players. So, I learned from him right away that it's not about me. It's not about, you know, the coaches, it's about the players. And it's ultimately, you know, your players are only going to be as good, as you let them be. And, you know, You look at that first team that I coached with, we went to Super Regional and lost to Indiana, but we had DJ Stewart on that team. We had Luke Weaver on that team, who's in the big leagues, Brandon Liebrandt. We had Kyle Bird, who pitched in the big leagues, John Nagowski, like a lot of guys, and a lot of guys who played the minor leagues. We also had Jameis Winston on that team. So you had a lot of like star power, and just realizing and learning that, you know, the players always come first in terms of, you know, the development, not only as a, you know, player, but as a person, is the most important thing. 'Cause at the end of the day, you know, I've always been like, if players, you know, if they trust you, and you know, it's a two-way street. If they feel like you're always, you know, putting their best interest at mind, and that's not just baseball, that's just in life. They're going to be more responsive to you, and they're going to, you know, I don't want to say work harder for you, but they're going to buy in more and they're going to buy in quicker. And I think that's the thing I learned with 11 was, man, he, all the players, and you guys seen, I'm sure, the documentaries when players talk about him, there's always a big smile, and it's always just about how much, you know, 11 cared about, you know, the well-being of the players. And that's the, you know, the thing I learned most about him, you know, from him coaching at FSU. And then after that, I was fortunate to go to the University of Tampa with Joe Urso, who's, you know, built a powerhouse there. And, you know, for me, Coach Urso, just his in-game management is just something I've never, you know, really experienced before. He's always a pitch ahead and inning ahead. And I think that's why he's been so successful all these years. It's, you know, he just kind of thinks on a different level. You know, while you're probably thinking about, you know, who's up in the pen for the other team, he's already two innings ahead of you of, hey, this spot's coming up in the lineup, they're going to go to this guy, so make sure this guy is going to get ready and stretched out. And so it was just something, you know, that unique that I had never really, you know, experienced in terms of just the preparation. You know, and my first year there, we actually went 54-4 and we lost in the Division II championship. So we went into the championship series 51-2, and we lost as many games, you know, that week than we lost the entire year. So that was difficult, just because, you know, we dominated the entire year, and to get there, it kind of seemed like, man, like, yeah, it was a great season statistically. But at the end of the day, we didn't finish the job. And so it left kind of a bitter taste in all of our mouths. And the thing about Coach Urso is, you know, win, lose, or draw the championship, the very next day, he's thinking about the next year, and he's ready to go for the next one. So that's, you know, the things I learned from him. Then after that, I came to USF with Coach Kingston, and, you know, I didn't know any of those guys coming in. I knew Mike Bell at Florida State, so, you know, I had some familiarity there. I knew Coach Urso from the Tampa area when I came in, but when I came to USF the first time, I didn't know any of the guys. I faced Billy in college, Coach Mole, so I knew him just facing him. So I actually reached out to him via Twitter when Twitter was first a thing, and just said, "Welcome to Tampa. You know, I'm over. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm over at University of Tampa. If you guys need anything, you know, as a guy who grew up here, please don't hesitate to reach out if I can help in any way." And so, you know, his response back was, you know, "How could I forget a 5'3" shortstop?" And so, because I, you know, I just didn't know if he remembered me, but he did. And then I ended up, Coach Kingston needed an infield guy, so I talked with him, and, you know, we immediately hit it off. Started with our both of our admiration for Don Mattingly. That was both of our favorite players, you know, growing up. And so it kind of took off from there, and me and him clicked very well. And, you know, he offered me the opportunity to come on staff. And, you know, at the time I told him, I saw USF a lot like Louisville when I went to Louisville, as, you know, there's potential here to be, you know, a postseason team, and, you know, everything's kind of already in place. It just takes, you know, the right players and the right mentality. And so, you know, he came in, and, you know, he immediately had success. And, you know, he was gone after 3 years because he did such a great job and got the opportunity to go to South Carolina. And, you know, he's still someone that I speak to very often, because he's, you know, one of my, you know, mentors, but also a good friend. And, you know, he always has, you know, made sure that I've been taken care of in my career, and always, you know, checked on myself and my family and whatnot. So, you know, those years that we were here with Coach Kingston, I mean, you know, you guys, I'm sure, know the names, but you got, you know, McClanahan, Sanders, Shrislecki, Villar, Montez, Hergit was there the first year. You know, Josh Walker was the guy who ended up making the big leagues that wasn't where he needed to be. And then you got, you know, guys that are still kind of scratching at the bit with Andrew Perez and Tommy Eveld, even those guys. So, like, Joe Cavallaro is another great name. So, you know, we had a lot of guys, Kevin Merrill, like, you know, draft high level prospects. So I think that was really challenging because yes, we had great players, but we had so many, you know, high level talented prospects that getting them all kind of on the same page was something that that Coach Kingston did that I learned is like, man, like it's hard to get, you know, that kind of talent to be on the same page and to develop. And so I learned a lot about development with him because those guys, you know, coming out of high school, they weren't, you know, they weren't top prospects, so to speak, you know, according to Perfect Game and these other accolades, but they were, you know, they were hungry. They, you know, they were, you know, a little bit too slow, a little bit too small, a little bit, you know, not enough power. And, you know, Coach Kingston, you know, has been great at developing guys over the years as a coach. And so, you know, he just, you know, kind of told us like, this is what we have to do to get these guys to the next level. And, you know, they just took off when they got here. And, you know, obviously he took off for South Carolina. And then, you know, that's kind of where when Coach Moll took over. And then, you know, I kind of went to the high school. We went to a regional that first year and it was a lot of those same players, but, you know, Coach Moll with the same kind of blueprint that Coach Kingston had already built, we were able to go to the Stetson regional that year. And you have McClanahan go in the first round and, you have all those guys drafted off that team. And, you know, that was kind of the next year I decided to go towards the high school route and didn't last very long. And then, you know, after that, I went back to University of Tampa for the COVID year. And then, you know, I ended up at another school that, you know, we don't need to talk about, but, you know, I've enjoyed all the stops in my coaching career. And I think each one has kind of taught me something different to shape, you know, even now I'm still learning, I'm still evolving, because, you know, that's just kind of how, baseball has been. You know, it continuously evolves and, you know, each year, you know, there's something new or, you know, either added to the game or a change that, you know, you have to adapt to. And the same thing goes for coaching, you know, these players is, you know, you got NIL stuff now, you got the full scholarships that are coming up. So, you know, again, that's just stuff we have to keep evolving. So I think that's the main thing I've learned as a whole out of all the stops is learning, going to, you know, different programs. You got to learn the style of the coach, the culture, you know, the university has, you know, all the universities are different in their own way. And I think that's helped me in my coaching to be able to evolve to as well as, you know, being at different stops with different personalities. And, you know, I've coached with some many different personalities. And, you know, fortunately I've been able to, you know, learn a lot from all those stops.
I mean, you've had the opportunity to work with some really talented coaches over your career, and it's really interesting how you've picked up different aspects of, you know, coaching from different guys, whether it's how to deal with your players on a day-to-day basis or, you know, X's and O's from your, you know, other head coaches that you've worked with as well. And, you know, want to dive a little bit more into your days coaching at USF with Mark Kingston and, you know, later Coach Moll. You know, what were the elements that made those teams special in your opinion? Can you reflect on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting with Coach Kingston, I think it was just the expectation, you know, when he first got to USF was, you know, this is a regional program, you know, and everything he kind of instilled in the players was that, like, this is going to be a program that's going to be a regular in the regional, and it's going to be a program that, you know, is a destination for, you know, players across the country. So, you know, with Mike Curran as a recruiting coordinator, especially, you know, he was a guy that, you know, he was constantly on the road, constantly recruiting. I mean, he, you know, he missed a lot of games the first, you know, year, just so that he was, you know, on the road and seeing all these players from not only around Florida, but around the country. You know, I think that was a, you know, change from, you know, what a lot of in the past that people have seen out of USF, so to speak. You know, Kingston, you know, he wanted USF to be a national brand. And so that meant, you know, getting guys from out of state, and that meant, you know, being seen at you know, maybe tournaments that normally, you know, as being from Florida, you think, you know, we have plenty of guys here in Florida. We don't need to recruit out of state, but in actuality, you know, sometimes you get, top level guys from the Midwest or the Northeast or, even the West Coast that, maybe Florida is enticing to them and they're one of the top players in their state. And so that's kind of, how I think that, that Kingston was able to win so quickly. It was just, we're going to recruit our butts off. We're going to, we're going to be disciplined. We're going to like with practices, and we're going to make sure we do everything right. At practice, and this way it'll translate into the game, and we're going to challenge them. And I think ultimately, that first team that we came in there, I mean, there was a lot of talent that, the Coach Prado and the staff before, there was plenty of talented players that were, there. I mean, we had Herget, we had Casey Mohan who was drafted. We had, Kyle Teef. We had, a lot of guys on that team that, had really good years that, and helped us get to a regional. And ultimately, once we kind of got that first regional, I don't want to say it made it easier recruiting wise, but it made it known like, man, like, okay, USF is a really good opportunity to play and go play in a regional. And I think that kind of, aided in what Kingston was kind of wanting to do and making USF a national, program.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And just thinking about it now, you I think I saw recently you were in Puerto Rico and hitting the recruiting trail there. Kind of going off on a little bit different of a tangent here, but talk a little bit about your experience in Puerto Rico recently.
Oh, it was a blast. I'd never been before. And I'm sure as you guys know, with Coach Hannes' background, Coach Bowers, they've kind of tapped that Puerto Rico pipeline pretty well at Indiana State. So I got an opportunity to go down there for like a showcase with the Florida prospects. And I had the time of my life in terms of being able to go to another country and centered around baseball. From an island that baseball is just, they live and breathe, and the opportunity to go there and see it firsthand. We were there 3 days, long days. They had music going. They had so much energy. There was 150 plus players and, they were just getting after it. And one of the nights we got to go to a professional game over there and, watch, the passion of the fans and the players there. And it's just, it's definitely something I'll never forget because you just see how much, how much energy and how much, passion they put into the game. And, I can see why, Coach Hannes and Coach Bowers have always, kind of tapped that pipeline because they're good players, but man, they love getting after it. And, Coach Hannes seems like the type of coach that's, wants guys that are, going to get after it on a daily basis. And, that's what I saw there when I was able to take that trip over.
That's super cool. I always see the World Baseball Classic, those people, the fans of Puerto Rico, they get extremely into the game. And it's funny, we actually had the opportunity to speak to Andrew Perez a couple of months ago, and he plays now obviously in the Mexican League, and they have the same passion over there too. And it's really interesting just to see, there's so many different professional leagues across the world. And, a lot of times we're just thinking about the major leagues or the minor leagues, but super cool that, that you got to experience that. And, you got to tie that into with recruiting as well.
Yeah. It was definitely a great opportunity. And I look forward to being able to go back, just because again, the passion for baseball is just different over there in terms of, what they come to the field, their perspective every day is just, man, like I get to wake up and play baseball today. And that was really cool to see. And, I actually, I know a decent amount of Spanish, so it was really cool because I did, I talked to some guys in Spanish and, they helped me learn a little bit more Spanish and clean it up a little bit. So, cause at the end of the day, this game's evolving, like I said, and, being able to get players from different countries, you see in the major leagues, like there's players from all over different countries that are very talented. And, hopefully, we can integrate that into some of the college game because there's so many talented players, in other countries that, don't get the opportunity to come to the US to play college, whether it be language barrier or just, from a institutional, learning ability. But, it would be really cool if we can start to, get more of those guys, opportunities to play in the US and in college baseball, because the passion they bring, I think it would rub off on a lot of guys and just, make baseball, what it's supposed to be, make it fun. It's a game. Yes, you're trying to win baseball games, but at the end of the day, you got to enjoy the moments that you do have. Because as a college athlete, I tell the guys all the time, man, it goes by so fast. Like, I'm sure, I'll have the same talk with the seniors this year. Like, man, it just seems like you were a freshman, doesn't it? Now, you're coming up on your senior year, and you have that talk every year of, how fast it goes. And it's the greatest time of, my life for me was in college. I still talk to a lot of my teammates, very regularly. And, every time when we get together or, we have a group text going, it's always about, something that happened or, memories that can that come up from college. So, I do hope the guys from different countries get opportunities, moving forward, more than they currently do.
Yeah, and that's only going to elevate the whole brand of base or college baseball rather, and grow the talent pool. So that's really exciting, and hope that we get to see that expansion come through. That'd be awesome. But aside from that, over the years you've coached many players. What common traits do you think the most successful players you've coached? What are the common traits that they've shared? And in your view, what are two or three most crucial qualities a player needs to excel in college and beyond? Are there a couple of players that come to mind who exemplify these traits, and what made them stand out?
Well, that's a good question. I think they're all, they're all unique in their own way in terms of, obviously their personalities. Some are similar, some are different. But I think, the guys that have the most success, I just feel like there's always a uniqueness about them and kind of how they carry themselves, to where, you see them on the field, you see them at practice, you see how they go about each day. And you just kind of know that, okay, that like he stands out because of, this, or he stands out because of that. To give, example, just a USF name, like when I coached Kevin Merrill, Kevin Merrill was a kid that came in and he was a golfer and a track guy in high school, and he played baseball, was a good baseball player, but he never, he was always playing other sports in the fall. So this was the first time he just only had baseball. And I mean, he turned himself into a first round shortstop. And I think the ability of guys sometimes doesn't really come out until they get to college and they have a regular, routine every day of, hey, it's, you got class, don't get me wrong. You got class, you got outside stuff, but ultimately you pretty much do baseball every single day in some shape or form. And I think, when guys come from high school, especially, they play and they work at it, but they don't know the true, amount of time that it takes to be successful in college. And I think that would be the trait that I would say those guys that have the most success is they dedicate that time and they don't waste the time. That's something that, I think is very precious and valuable in college, because although it seems like it's a lot of time, it's really not in terms of, hours limits within, the NCAA rules that we're allowed to have and whatnot. So a lot of the stuff you have to do is on your own. And the guys that seem to, move on and have success, they don't, they're self-motivated. They, they don't have to, be told, so to speak. I say told, but they don't, they just know, like, okay, I need to hit extra. Okay, I need to watch extra video, or I need to get in the weight room more. And, they just do that on their own. There's guys that come in that are super talented, and, unfortunately they never kind of reach their peak because, they don't take advantage of time, of the time they have, and they struggle with time management. And ultimately, they kind of reach that point where it's like, I can't do anymore. And I think when that mentality hits it's kind of like, you know, you've reached the peak, and I can't go any further. And I think for the guys that continue to have the success and move on to professional baseball and move up, it's kind of like, you know, they're just scratching the surface when they get to college of, man, like, I can go to class for a couple hours and go to practice for a couple hours, but the rest of the time I just got on my own to be able to, you know, go hit or take extra ground balls or get extra time in the weight room. And, you know, it's like Disney World to them. It's like, man, like, I can just go hit in the cage whenever I want. It's like, yeah, you know, like, cause you know, in high school, you know, if the coach is not there, you don't have lights in the cages, or, you know, you don't have keys to get to, you know, into a facility, like, you can only hit, you know, maybe a couple, you know, an hour a day in a certain time slot. But when you get to college, you know, you have the ability, but again, it's, you know, you got to be self-motivated. And I think that would be I'd say the biggest quality is those guys are self-motivated. You know, they just push themselves and they continue to test, you know, how much, you know, how far they can go. Can I get better? Can I continuously get better? And I think that's, you know, I would say what I feel, you know, my opinion, you know, what kind of separates those guys that have a lot of success versus the guys who are, you know, nice college players, but they just don't ever kind of get to that next level.
Well, it's super interesting. And I think one thing that pops in my mind is, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to master any skill. And, you know, if you're not taking full advantage of, you know, your resources that you have in front of you, then, you know, you're never going to live up to that full potential and master a skill. So, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity you have in front of you, and, you know, the fact that, you know, the guys that are successful, they do that is really telling, in my opinion. That's super cool. And, you know, kind of moving on to a segment about your current stint at USF, you know, what was it like to come back to the green and gold last year? And what was it particularly meaningful to you to rejoin your Division I hometown baseball team?
Well, you know, when I was at the other school, I actually commuted back and forth each day for 3 years, because you know, Tampa's my home. It's where my family is, my wife's family. You know, it's where, you know, where we want to be. It's where we want, you know, my son to grow up. And so ultimately this has always been the destination. And, you know, so to be able to come back, was, you know, a blessing. You know, Coach Mole gave me the opportunity to come back, and, you know, I was very grateful and obviously jumped all over it. Because it's, you know, I told Coach Kingston this when he hired me, is, you know, I had the opportunity to go coach at Louisville with Dan McDonald. You know, he offered me a volunteer job when I got out of pro ball and after Florida State, and would love to go coach at my alma mater. But there's something just different about your hometown, you know, in front of all the people, you know, your friends, your family, the people you grew up with, you know, the coaches that you grew up, you know, playing for and things like that. And to be able to, you know, coach in the college and in that town and try to, you know, get the first team to go to Omaha from USF. That's always been my goal since I came to USF, was I want to be, you know, a part of the team, the first team to go to, you know, to Omaha. And I had that opportunity as a player at Louisville, being the first team. And it's, you know, it's special, because what it does is, it, you know, it builds the program up to where, you know, it's a national program. And then ultimately, you know, it's just like, it seems like it just starts rolling and rolling and rolling. And then, you know, everybody wants to be a part of it, and everybody wants, you know, oh man, like, yeah, I know the Bulls, you know, I know USF, you know, it becomes that national brand. And when Coach Mole gave me the opportunity to come back, you know, it was, you know, a little bit emotional, because I was here before. And then going to the other side and coming back, I mean, it's very, you know, difficult to be on both sides, because number one, when I was on the other side, there were still players at USF that I helped recruit that, you know, you want to see them do well. You wish them best success. And, you know, and then from the coaching staff, you know, Coach Mole's a good friend of mine, and, you know, we lost to the Bulls in the conference championship in 21 when they had that magical run. And, you know, it was bittersweet. Obviously I'm a competitor and I want to win, but you know what? It was awesome to see guys that, you know, that I got a chance to coach and recruit and Coach Mole, especially in Coach Paris, to be able to, you know, put USF in a super regional, you know, and that was awesome. And so for me to be able to have to, you know, have the opportunity to come back and try to build off of that. And then the years passed with Coach Kingston, you know, that's why I wanted to be at USF. That's why I want to be here. I want to put, you know, USF as a national baseball program. I want to be able to, you know, have my son grow up here, and he's already a Bulls fan, but, you know, have that pride of going around of, man, you know, my dad coaches for USF baseball. I want to be a Bull when I grow up to play baseball, because as we know in the state of Florida, there's a lot of great options for colleges, great baseball programs. So, you know, the ability to kind of be on a different level and be in a different, you know, different category is what I want as a part of the USF program. And that's what I hope, you know, Coach Hanna's coming here. I hope we can build that. You know, he's obviously had a great reputation for what he's done at Indiana State. And I look forward to the opportunity to kind of raising the bar, you know, that's already been set here at USF, you know, throughout the past, you know, 10 years. Obviously there's been ups and downs, but, you know, there's been obvious, I don't know the word to say, but there's been there's been obvious situations where USF can go to Omaha. Like it's a it's not a fact of it's impossible. It's possible. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, we break through and, you know, and we'll all look back and talk about, man, like we knew it was coming. And we were, you know, we were hoping for it, and now it's come.
You know what? I think after this podcast is over, I'm going to go ahead and book my tickets for the upcoming year to Omaha. So getting me all excited. But cool. Yeah. So, you know, when you first learned about, you know, being able to come back to USF and being part of this new staff, can you share the moment you found out and how excited you were for you and your family?
Yeah. So, you know, Coach Hannes met with me and, you know, once he got hired, you know, I was actually, running summer camp because we were, you know, waiting to see what was going to happen. And, you know, when he told me he was going to keep me on, because, you know, he felt that I, you know, could bring some value to the program. He wasn't sure exactly what capacity yet, but, he asked me if I was, you know, wanted, you know, to stay a Bull. And, you know, I told him, you know, absolutely. I mean, this is my hometown, it's where my family is. You know, this is where we want to be. You know, my family was, you know, my wife was obviously very excited and relieved, because like I said, you know, it was USF or kind of bust. You know, I've been fortunate to be able to land some jobs within driving distance, but ultimately, you know, this is our destination. So, you know, it's a thing of pride for me, being from Tampa. Even though I didn't play at USF, Coach Peters was actually, a recruiting coach, when I was in high school, and he talked to me a little bit, but, I'll let you talk to him about why I didn't end up as a Bull. But, you know, we joke about it now in the office because, you know, he played here, but he also has been a coach here as well. So we kind of share that, you know, he was, that common, you know, past because he was part of regional teams and great teams at USF. So, you know, we've talked about that as well in terms of, you know, how to, you know, how we did it in, you know, within this year and how he did it in that year. And so, you know, being around him along with the other coaches, you know, very different backgrounds, but, you know, very like-minded in terms of the mentality of, you know, we want to win, and, you know, how we're going to do it, is very similar too. And ultimately it's no magic potion. It's just, we're going to work our butts off and, you know, we're going to, you know, get these guys to understand that, hey man, like we can win here, and we're going to win here. So at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's been a great transition for myself and my family. Coach Hannes has been awesome. and all the other coaches that have come on staff too. We've clicked pretty well, to start, and we haven't even got on the field yet. So I'm excited to see how it all comes together when we get on the field.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually got to meet Coach Hannes recently at the alumni bar crawl in Ybor, and it was just amazing talking to him. How he just has this calm presence about him and kind of a quiet confidence, which I think really will translate obviously well to the baseball field. And obviously, he's proven that in the past. But what's that been like working with them so far? Obviously, you guys haven't gotten to the field yet, but I'm sure there's been plenty of meetings and interactions. What's your experience been like?
Well, it's just like you said, he just has that calm confidence about him. I think, the best way to describe, kind of how it's been is if you guys, saw the way his team at Indiana State played, they're fundamentally sound. They got after it. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. They had that kind of quiet confidence, and they just kind of, at the end of the game, you look up and say, man, like, they just didn't let off the gas pedal. And and that's kind of, I would say, very reflective of Coach Hannes. He's, as you said, with that calm confidence. He's great to be around in the office setting. I'm looking forward to seeing him on the field, because I think it's going to be something that is similar to nature of myself, in terms of, man, when I get on the field, and like I mentioned earlier, like, I kind of zone out on everything that's going on off the field when the game starts, because at the end of the day, it's, game mode for me is when I step on the field. I'm out there to win. I'm out there to compete, and that's kind of all I really focus on, is how, and like we talked about earlier, being the star of your role. For me, it's, how can I help this team win? Like, what can I pick up to help us win today? Not worry about yesterday or tomorrow's game. Like, how can I impact the game today and help this team win? Because, his teams at Indiana State, we saw them play three games here, and they never looked, overmatched. They never looked, scared. They never looked intimidated, and they walked out of here, against, three teams that, one went to a super regional, one's been a powerhouse for a long time, and our team had a lot of talent, so to speak, and they walked out of here 3-0, and it was like, wham bam, thank you ma'am. And they went on and never stopped after that. So I'm excited to see kind of how his mentality is from a practice setting, and then to a game. Because, as you said, like, if you've watched, like you said, with the calm confidence, even coaching against them, he just looks always calm and under control in the dugout, never pressured. And watching them play, I'm excited to see what the Bulls are going to look like under his leadership.
Definitely. And it's funny, we only had to play him once, and hopefully we'll never have to play against him again as Bulls fans, because I think they ended up beating us 5-0 in that game. But
Yes. Yep.
now he's on our team, so
He lets me know about it, quite often, that they shut us out. I say, well, that's why you're on this side now.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool. So just wrapping up my segment here, you've recently taken on the new role of Director of Player Development. Can you tell us what your main responsibilities will be on a daily basis, and how do you think this role will enhance the program, especially since this is the first time the team has had someone in this position?
Yeah, so my role won't change a whole lot, in terms of, my responsibilities. I still get to work with the infielders. We have a graduate assistant from that played for Coach Hannes, Indiana State, Jordan Schaefer. So, I'm looking forward to working with him, because obviously he played for Coach Hannes. He worked in the infield, was a great player. So I'll still be working with the infielders, and assisting with hitters and base running with Coach Peters and Coach Kangas. I think the only thing that probably changes for me a little bit is, with the new role, just because by NCAA rule, I'm not allowed to coach like a base. for example. So during the game, I'll be in the dugout, more or less, with Coach Hannes and then Coach Schlereth on the pitching side. And off the field, I would say, my role in terms of any changes, like I'm a little more, involved in the like the recruiting slash like getting kids into school, like the more of the, helping them get their transcripts and helping, with Coach Kangas and Coach Bowers kind of like facilitate, more of the forms and getting visits set up and things like that. So when Coach Kunkel was here, he was the recruiting coordinator and, he took care of a lot of that stuff. And now like, a little bit more of my off the field responsibility will be assisting those guys in that nature. So, on the field, like I said, not a whole lot change, which, I'm looking forward to, especially Coach Hannes was a former infielder. So, I'm sure, once we get going, we'll definitely be getting after it on the infield and then off the field, just a little bit more of the getting those incoming recruits kind of set up and ready to come see campus and, kind of get them acclimated to USF.
Seems like your role's almost expanded a bit. You seem like you're gonna have a big part in not only on field stuff, but also I think being able to be in the dugout more, being able to have those conversations with players in game a little bit more. I think that could be a big benefit, especially with a couple of things that we were speaking about earlier. Just that mindset of the importance of every play and every position and being able to reiterate that. I think that's super cool. And also, it's funny with Jordan Schaefer. I had thought for the longest time that it was the Jordan Schaefer that played in the major leagues for the Braves. I don't know if you're familiar with that
Oh
name.
yeah. Yep.
But it's funny. I think I actually messaged Jordan Schaefer on X, and I was like, "Hey, are you the guy that played in the major leagues and stuff?" But never heard back from him. But that was super funny. But I think that's pretty much everything that I have on my end. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and I'll pass it off to Mark.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll wrap it up here with just kind of one last little topic I wanted to touch on. Player development in college. I think it's like I've actually talked to some people that work in professional baseball, and they've even told me that there is opportunity in the college game to do more of it. And some programs do it really well. Some programs are, still learning how to do it. But I guess A, like, why do you think it's so important to have player development? And you did mention that like when you first started working with Kingston, you noticed he had a lot of emphasis on that initially. So what does it mean to you to really have like a player development program within a college baseball program, and what are some ways that you can actually make it effective, whether it be metrics or tracking or anything like that?
Yeah, I think from the professional side, I think there's a difference because they have unlimited amount of time they can work with guys.
Right.
They can bring guys in, throughout the year if they want for a 2 week span, because they, need to work on something. They have spring training, they have season, they have instructs. Then they have, fall leagues and they have mini camps. I think from the college aspect, it's for me, at least, and this is again my kind of personal take on, my role and where I see, me fitting into that kind of player development role. I think, I think I do a good job of being able to always, relate to the players, from a player's point of view, and not that other coaches don't. I just think that, like we talked about, kind of my mentality was always, a team guy. And I think, the ability to make the guys understand, what their, how their role is impactful. I think sometimes will help guys, understand why they're working on certain things
Yeah.
versus, and how they can impact the team
Right.
versus, because it's difficult in the college game because again, we don't get as much time as we would like. And,
Sure.
sometimes You can't spend, those extra hours in the cages with a guy, but being able to kind of have the player development role of, the extra video or just the extra time talking about it versus actually, being out there in the cages to do it. I think that's where I can be beneficial, with the role that I'm in. It's becoming more prevalent in college baseball, this role, and I think every program's different in what they use it for. I see myself, and I think Coach Hannes does too, as a guy who, is really good on the field with players and communicating, and I think that's kind of where I excel. And I think that's kind of why my responsibilities haven't changed a whole lot in terms of the on the field, because that's just, again, I just get in a different mode when I'm on the field, and I just, I try to just constantly think about how can I help our team get better today? How can we win today? What value can I bring today? And I try to instill that with the players each day is, how can, I help the team win today? If it's a scrimmage, like what value do I bring to the team in a practice today? Like what is my role as a player at practice today? Like how can I get better? But ultimately, how is this going to help the team get better? And I think that sometimes, guys kind of lose sight in practice because, once you get the season going and you know how it is, it's a long season and it kind of gets to that point where, maybe starters are established and, guys feel like, well, this guy, how do I get in the lineup? And I can kind of, be sort of that, hey, look, this is how you can help us win even though you're not in the lineup. And again, I used Austin Mock as an example because last year, I mean, he continuously worked his tail off, and it was, his kind of mentality, and he's got the little country accent. He's like, coach, I get to come out and play baseball every day. Why would I not be excited to come out here? And that's, for me, that is the mentality that I had. Yes, in college, I was a 4-year starter, but ultimately, like, there's no place I would rather be, man. Like, I get to come and take ground balls and, play baseball. And, the only reason why I was in Louisville, Kentucky was because baseball. So I was going to make sure every day that I remembered that as, this is why I'm here. And, I think some of those guys sometimes lose sight of, man, like you come in on your visit, you're excited. The first day you step on campus, you're excited. And then all of a sudden, the season starts, what changed? Well, the only thing that typically changed was playing time. And guys sometimes let playing time affect, their vision of what they are to the team. And, again, everybody has a role. And at the end of the day, I think, guys understanding how their role can help a team win, whether it's your number one or your number 40, I think is part of player development and making them, understand that, hey, man, like this is a team game and you bring value in this way to help the team win. I know you want to do this or bat here or be the Friday night starter, but if this helps us get to Omaha, this is what you need to be the best at. Not try to be the best pitcher on the staff. Be the best pitcher that in the role that you're given, and that will help us win, and that'll help you in the long run. Because if our team didn't go to Omaha that year, I probably don't get drafted because I don't get seen as much. And I was a 38th round pick back when they had 40 rounds, so. Nowadays, like I probably don't get picked up, but because I was on a great team with a lot of great players that went to Omaha, scouts look at that and they say, wow, man, like that's a guy or that's a team that wins and that's a team who knows how to win. And let's give this guy an opportunity because he's going to come in and he's been in a program that's developed him into, a guy who knows how to win. And that's kind of how I see like the player development role for me.
Wow. Actually, I love that answer because it's something that I've always kind of thought about in terms of college baseball is, in any given day, only, 9 or 10 guys are going to get at bats. Maybe like 3 or 4 guys are going to get to pitch. But it's like, how do you, get all 35, 36, however many guys, like you're saying, to still be mentally invested and enthusiastic every day about the role that they have at that time. And that's way easier said than done. And I'm sure you that's like a challenge you face every day is like, motivating and like you said, making people realize like how important that their role or like even staying prepared, like if a guy stays ready to the point where, okay, now you're in the game, oh, and you impress, it's like the getting Wally pipped or something, like that kind of concept, right? But yeah, that's awesome. I think that's player development and keeping all players in the roster motivated. To me, like the game is so mental, and if you keep guys in the right space mentally, I think that's going to make a huge difference. That's awesome. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything we had. I mean, it's been awesome talking to you, Coach. We've really enjoyed it, and we're very much looking forward to maybe coming out to some fall practices, seeing how you guys are doing. And yeah, are you guys going to be starting practice pretty soon?
Yeah, so the guys come back, obviously, and then just with the way the days work and whatnot, we'll have practice, like like small group work and stuff starting up after Labor Day.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, all right. Thank you again, Coach Cates, for joining our program. If you're not already, be sure to subscribe to our show, follow it on whichever platform, whether that be Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we look forward to catching up with Coach Cates again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to the upcoming school year and season. And go Bulls.
Go Bulls. See ya.
Go.